Hey everyone, my name is Nolan McClure. I'm a graduate student in the Family Financial Planning Program within the Department of Housing and Consumer Economics at the University of Georgia. And I just want to welcome you to my financial literacy video series. I've been approached several times throughout my education by some of my peers for help and advice regarding some basic financial management skills. So this video series is designed to be an online resource for those individuals as well as others who are looking to take control of their finances by developing some practical money skills. So let's talk about budgeting. Let me start by saying how you spend your money can really make a huge difference in your financial well-being. So consider this. In America, the average household has over $7,000 in credit card debt, and that value includes all of the households that carry no credit card balance. If you only include the families that actually carry a balance on their credit cards, that average jumps to over $15,000, which can be a devastating financial burden on a household. So whether you already find yourself buried in debt or just lost when it comes to money, utilizing a budget in order to manage your finances is an important skill. Some estimates argue that you could increase your money available for spending by as much as 20% if you simply paid attention to where it all goes. So today we're going to talk about some different strategies for how to do just that. First, let's start with the basics of building your spending plan. You'll notice that I called it a spending plan and not a budget. When people think of a budget, they tend to think of restricting their money and not being able to enjoy the way they use their resources, but this isn't how you should think of money. Instead, think of your money as a resource to be used to meet your essential needs as well as to help achieve your goals and your passions. So from now on, we're going to talk about how to create a spending plan, which is your strategy to use your resources in the way that best suits your needs and goals. But before we start with anything, you need to take some time and write down your goals and also your values. In his best-selling book titled 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, author Stephen Covey states that habit number 2 is to start with the end in mind. What is your goal for building this spending plan? What do you want to accomplish? What are some of your short-term and long-term financial goals? These goals, along with your personal values, are both crucial in building an effective spending plan. And you'll notice that I said values as well as goals. In addition to being goal-oriented, your spending plan should be a reflection of your own personal values. Remember that your money and your plan are both tools used to meet your needs as well as your personal passions, so the way you spend your money should reflect that. Take some time to write down what is most important to you and be sure to incorporate those things into your spending plan. Once you have your goals and values in mind, it's time to start building your plan. The first thing we're going to do is decide the length of time within the period your plan will cover. Most people probably plan for monthly expenses, but some people prefer a bi-weekly period based on their paycheck, or maybe even a longer period, such as a quarter or a semester if their income comes all at once through something like a scholarship or a student loan. You want to have a time frame established where you can periodically reset your expenses and income. Personally, I prefer using a monthly period because that's when it's easy for me to track my monthly income stream and expenses. But the key here is to do what's best for you, not necessarily what someone else tells you to do. In fact, that will be a theme running through this entire presentation. Your spending plan is about you. Take some ideas and suggestions from me or anyone else you talk to, but your spending plan ultimately only needs to work for you. Once you have that period established, you need to get a realistic picture of both your income and your expenses within that period. First, take some time to figure out what your actual take-home pay is during your selected period. This needs to be as accurate as possible so you can know exactly what you're working with within your plan. Now look at your expenses over the last period and add them up as well. A good way to do this is to look at your previous bank statements if you use a credit or debit card and add up your expenses over the most recent period and group your expenses into categories. Detailed accounts can be nice, but sometimes it's easy to lose sight of the big picture. So I recommend broad, general categories. For example, natural gas, electricity, water, telephone, and cable bills could be lumped into one category called utilities. The movie theater, baseball game, and going to a concert could be lumped into entertainment, and so on. On the screen, you'll see a list of some common expense categories that you can consider in your spending plan. And of course, don't forget to include savings. Sometimes you'll run into irregular expenses such as auto insurance that don't fall neatly into your spending plan period, and these can be tricky to plan for. One effective way of planning for these expenses is to spread the cost out over a number of periods in between each expense and set that money aside each period. A separate savings account could be an effective place for this, so consider opening one up at your current bank. Or better yet, open up this account at a separate bank so that the money is less accessible and you know exactly where to find it when the time comes. But be sure not to open a savings account that is going to charge you a fee to keep the money there. Online banks can work really well for this purpose. So if you find you have an irregular expense to account for, be sure to set a regular amount of money aside each period, and when the time comes, use those funds to pay for the expense. Just remember to keep it in a place that's difficult to access so you don't spend it on something else. Finally, we've reached the point where you should create an initial projection of your periodic expenses. After you've created all of your expense categories, assign a dollar amount to each category for the period your spending plan will cover. It's okay to guess here.
In fact, you'll probably overestimate some of the categories and underestimate others, but that's all right, because over time you'll be able to correct and refine your spending plan. When projecting expenses, you should first make sure that your essential needs are met, and then you should turn to your goals and your values. This is the secret to creating a spending plan that is enjoyable to work with, rather than dealing with a restrictive budget. So what are your values? Do you want to give to a specific organization or charity? Do you want to spend more time doing activities with friends and family? Maybe cut out an expense that you don't need as much and instead use those funds to promote your values in your spending plan. The point here is to make the necessary adjustments to keep your expenses below your income while encouraging spending on the things that mean the most to you. So let's quickly stop and take a look at what we've covered so far. At this point, you should have a pretty good working list of your goals and values and a detailed list of your different spending categories with a dollar value of projected expenses for each category. The next section of the presentation will cover a crucial component of your spending plan, which is tracking all of your actual expenses. If incorporating your goals and values into your spending plan is the most important step, then being able to effectively keep track of your expenses over time is definitely of next importance. This step is crucial towards your ability to maintain your spending plan. Effective expense tracking is the glue that holds your spending plan together. Because there are lots of different ways that you can track your expenses, the key is finding the one that works best for you. The next couple of slides outline some different methods that others have had success with that you can try out for yourself when tracking your expenses. The first method is broadly called the software method. This includes using some sort of electronic software to track your expenses. There are many different kinds of free expense tracking programs that you can sign up for online, and some might even be available on your smartphone as well. Some programs might even allow you to link your online financial accounts in order to automatically track expenses from your credit card statement in order to view your current spending plan. Of course, you should never input information regarding your financial accounts on any software that you don't completely trust, so make sure your software has a verified security license before inputting any personal information. The software method is quickly becoming one of the most popular expense tracking methods because of its ease of use and accessibility. The second example is called the expense diary. This method is the most time-intensive, but it also could be the most effective. It requires physically writing down each time you spend money so you can later track where everything has gone. This could be accomplished as simply as keeping a notepad with you or in your car, or using your phone to track expenses. Most smartphones have some kind of notepad available, or even an expense diary app that you could download. This method can be the most difficult to turn into a habit, but is probably the most effective if you can pull it off. A third method is called the receipts method. Here you can simply keep all of the receipts you receive when spending money and then record where all of your money has gone at the end of each week. This method is most convenient when spending money, but it requires sitting down each week to review your purchases. Instead of collecting all the receipts you receive, this method could also be done with a bank statement if you use a credit card or debit card to make most of your purchases. Again, you must review your receipts or your statements regularly in order to categorize your expenses and make sure you are sticking within your spending plan, so this method might not work well for you if you don't think you'll be able to make the time to sit down and review your receipts or statements. Another downside to this method is that not all expenses will always have a receipt attached to them, so those purchases can be easy to lose track of. The last method I'll discuss is what's called the envelope method. This method requires making all of your spending in cash, but it can be quite effective. The idea is to create a different envelope for each spending category and to fill that envelope with cash at the beginning of each period when you receive your income. As you spend cash from each envelope, the envelope starts to deplete. When you have spent all the cash in a certain category, you know that you've reached your limit for that period. While this method can be incredibly successful, it has the drawback of maintaining several envelopes of cash as well as the downside of paying for everything with cash. However, this method can be incredibly successful for people who are afraid to use debit or credit cards in fear of running up a balance or a limit. Of course, many of these methods can be combined. You may find software that builds a spending plan around an expense diary or a receipt tracking app for your smartphone. Personally, I like the envelope method the best because it helps me keep my expenses below my total income, but I also prefer the benefits of using a credit card, so I use a software program that electronically mimics the envelope method. It doesn't matter what method you choose. The only thing that matters is that your method works for you. You can create your own method if you like. The goal is to make yourself aware of your spending behavior and keep you within your personal spending plan. Remember, being able to track your expenses effectively is one of the most important parts of your spending plan. Otherwise, your plan will fall apart. You should now have all of the skills and information you need in order to begin building your spending plan. The last step to do now is to implement your expense tracking method and monitor your expenses as time goes on. As you try to develop the habit of tracking your expenses, remember what I said in the beginning of the video. If you could work an extra hour a week to increase your income by 20%, would you do it? Tracking your expenses can help make sure that you're never wasting or spending money unnecessarily, so it's definitely worth the effort. For some people, monitoring their spending plan may come easily, but others might have to work at it and take time to make sure that they stay within their plan. As time goes on, return to your initial expense projections to see if you are easily able to stay within your projected expenses. After a period or two of following your new spending plan, you may find that some categories don't have enough money allocated to them, while others may have too much. This is when you can refine your spending plan to make it as accurate as possible or discover some areas where you might be spending too much money. From here, you can adjust your projected expenses and then start the cycle all over again. As you can imagine, your spending plan will change just as frequently as you will. Obviously, the spending categories and needs of a young family will be drastically different than that of a college student. This is why it is so important to get into the cycle of building a spending plan, tracking your expenses, and then adjusting the plan over time. Following these steps can ensure that you'll have a strong understanding of where your money is going and help you to use your resources effectively, no matter what stage of life you're in.
So that's all for our presentation on building your spending plan. Hopefully we've given you some information that you can use to implement in your own spending plans. Thanks for listening. Good luck.